The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Mark Pitts of KCHA in Charles City and Aaron Summers with the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Mark, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator, any idea when American Rescue Act money might actually be coming down to the municipalities, cities, and counties that we've been talking about it for a number of months, but nobody seems to know when that money is going to arrive?
Well, it sounds to me, first of all, if they're anxious to spend it today, they can get it. They'd want it today. But the last dollar doesn't be spent, I think, until 2023 or 2024. So there's a period of time for them to give plenty of thought to when they spend it. And I got the opinion in one of my town meetings 2 weeks ago that some cities already had the money because they asked me, can we use it for this or that? But maybe that doesn't mean that I know for sure that they received it, but it won't be long till you're receiving it. And maybe one of the reasons it isn't received yet is because the Secretary of Treasury hasn't put out the final regulations on what the money can be used for. But I recently read in the Waterloo paper that Blackhawk County gave four or five things that they said they knew it could be used for. So I don't know whether there is misinformation going out or no information going out, or some people have access to it and other people don't. But I can't answer your question beyond that. Aaron.
Yes, thanks. Last week you made some comments about your concerns about what the federal government knew about the origins of COVID-19. Can you talk a little bit about your concerns about that situation and what the potential origin might have been?
Well, I think it came from the lab, a leak, and there's all kinds of reasons now to suspicion that. And contrary to the last 12 months prior to about a month ago, everybody was saying, well, if you're saying it's come from a lab, it's part of the conspiracy theory. Now there's all sorts of television, print, and radio commentators that have eggs on their face because they're finding out that, you know, several people said this. But one of my colleagues, Senator Cotton, was saying it way back in February of 2020 that he thought it came from the lab, and he was just hounded by the media that he was part of some conspiracy theory that ought to be ignored, or he was ignoramus for even thinking that. Now I've seen a list of 10 things that have been said recently over the last year about this this whole virus situation, including where it originated, that everybody's got egg on their face. So there's no way that I can tell you for sure that it came from the lab, but there seems to be more evidence all the time coming to view that points in that direction. I don't think we're ever going to know for sure, because the only way we would know for sure is if China was going to cooperate with the World Health Organization and the other countries of the globe that wants to know where it comes from. Not for the reason of castigating China, but because that information is essential to know to get ready for the next pandemic. And we may not have one for 20 years, but we're going to have another one because we've had a few in the last 100 years. Mark?
Pandemic related, we've certainly seen here in North Iowa in the last week, and probably across a good portion of the state, summer events, festivals, county fairs and what have you that were canceled last year are getting back to full swing this year. Do you offer any precautionary measures for people, just even though we're kind of towards the end of the pandemic, but
yeah.
Maybe proceed with caution still?
Yeah, if you're outside, you can be fairly safe, particularly in the summer, that you can be a little more relaxed than if you're inside, even inside in the summer. I think if you've been vaccinated, you can be pretty sure that you aren't going to give it to somebody else or you aren't going to get it. I believe that you're going to have to follow when you go into commercial places, if they want you to wear a mask, you're going to have to wear a mask. If you want to fly, you're going to have to wear a mask. I would advise people that don't have their shots yet to get their shots. And I believe that you can be more relaxed than normal, at least near term. And as we get more people getting vaccinated, you can be more certain that it's under control. But from now on, you're going to have to talk people into being vaccinated. The easy vaccinations ended about a month ago, and people work real hard to get other people to be vaccinated. Aaron.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the Meatpacking Special Investigator Act that you've introduced?
Yeah. I'll give you the short version of it so I don't limit your number of questions. Presently, four packing plants have 80% of the slaughter in the United States, so there's not enough competition. Under those circumstances, less than 20% of the daily slaughter is done by negotiated prices. In other words, the farmers that want to get on the phone and say, I want to sell my cattle today, they give you a price, and it's usually probably a price that's lower than what the other 80% get, and you may not be able to deliver your cattle for 3 or 4 weeks. I hear that all the time from Iowans, so I'm not making that up. Then, so my bill would raise that less than 20%, which isn't done by law, but by law, my bill would require that 50% of it be negotiated prices, so a handful of big packing companies with their own cattle or contracting with big feedlots can't dominate the market, so that the Iowa independent producer is a residual supplier, takes a lower price, and then can't market the day he wants to market. Back to Mark.
Just a follow-up on in regards to that. So, and when you say meat, as a cattlemen as well as pork producers, and how long has this been an issue that maybe has held some farmers back from maybe being as profitable as they could be?
Well, it was a problem 2003 to 2009. I tried to get several legislation passed, and the problem must have went away because I didn't handle my bill until reintroducing it a year ago. But since the pandemic, we've heard it awful. This is the situation, because I said, you know, the cattle feeders in Iowa that are independent producers take less money. They're barely, they may not even be making a profit. The packing plants are making some days $800 on a steer, sometimes $1,200 on a steer. And you know, the price of meat, particularly beef, at the consumer's market, the big grocery stores, hasn't gone down one penny. Aaron.
Yeah, I also saw that you've been working on the Hunger Free Summer Act, and I'm wondering if there have been any Iowa organizations, any teachers, any parents who've been in touch with you kind of lobbying for more flexibility, or maybe school groups lobbying for more flexibility in their ability to provide those meals to kids in the summertime.
No, I think it takes the legislation to do it. Yes, we have been lobbied, but it's still a carryover from the pandemic. In big cities, you don't have a problem redistributing meals to kids that would normally get it in the school year at the schoolhouse. But in rural areas, we got to find other ways to do it. And one of those ways is to give a debit card for the purchase of food. Mark?
Governor Reynolds ended about a month ago, I suppose, now the $300 federal pandemic unemployment insurance that was added, and it's not one of Iowa now, just one of four states that have ended that. what are you hearing from constituents in terms of whether or not that's going to spur people getting to applying for jobs? Because the general reasoning by the governor was that the extra assistance was holding people back from getting out there and getting to work.
Yeah, it's making a big impact. You're having people, particularly small business, that couldn't hire people. And now that that's ended, there's a lot of applications for jobs. About 26 states have done that. The federal government shouldn't have continued it beyond what we did last summer, but we have. And Republicans wanted to end it in July. We didn't even want it to go to July, but we would have ended in July. The whole program will end on September the 11th nationwide. But in the states where it is ended, it's done a remarkable thing to help small business get jobs. You can't expect people to go to work if they can make more money not working. I mean, it may not be right, but you can't blame the people for doing it. And particularly, that money is not taxed. Normally, it would be taxed, but in this pandemic, it's not being taxed. So it's easy to make a lot more money than you would if you were working, if you get that additional $300. This problem of not being able to hire people is something that I'll bet in more than three-fourths of the 71 counties I've been in so far this year, this has come up as a major problem. So I'm glad that Governor Reynolds has taken the lead that she has. Aaron, you'll be the last question.
All right. What are the other issues that Iowans are bringing up as you're traveling the state this summer?
Okay. Well, we've already talked about the cattle market. We've already talked about the workforce shortage. Cybersecurity, and that was when JBS was hacked. The immigration crisis at the border, drug pricing, and then we recently had a court decision that says that the slaughter of pork is going to have to slow down 2.5%. That may not sound like very much, but that's going to reduce income to pork farmers by $80 million, probably averaging about $23 a head of pigs being slaughtered. Inflation, and there's a lot more, but at least those are coming up regularly at the 12. That's coming from the 12 county meetings I had 2 weeks ago. 71 counties I've been in so far this year. Thank you all very much for participating.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Mark and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Rossley reporting to the people of Iowa.